Max for leading us in worship. Most of you guys have seen his new haircut, and it's really incredible. He's really looking good with that new haircut that he got for his sister married this last Saturday. So I don't think Grace is probably watching, is she? But anyway, congratulations to her and her husband, Bailey. So I know Max is excited about his new brother-in-law and all things related to his sister being married. So, you know, while we were singing the worship song just before we get into the message tonight, if you're joining us just now for some reason, maybe getting on a little late, you're looking for Bruce. He's home tonight, as I mentioned, with Jane, and she's recovering still, obviously, from her heart surgery, and just continue to pray for healing and all things related to what she's been through. But she's coming along, and so hi, Jane, if you and Bruce are there, I believe you are, and we are praying for you. And Bruce, Lord willing, will be back up here next Wednesday night to continue our study in the book of Revelation. But just as we were getting ready to get into the message tonight, while Max, you're leading worship, this verse from Philippians 4:8 that I'm sure many of you are familiar with just came to mind. I wanted to read it. With all the things we see in the news and social media today, it's so very easy to get pulled into the agenda and the narrative that the world is putting forth right now. But as believers, Paul said in Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, and whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, and if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." And, you know, most of the good things that are going on in the world right now, you won't find them on the news. This world has an agenda and a narrative that they want us to swallow, and it's not that we ignore what's going on in the world. But let's not be blind to all the good things that God is doing and the things that are of good report and praiseworthy and worthy of our thought. And I think Paul's words there are just a reminder to all of us tonight to be thinking on those things that are pure and lovely and of good report with all the other things that are coming at us. We need to be careful with that. So anyway, glad you're with us tonight. I was planning to do something different tonight when Bruce mentioned that he might be home this evening with Jane coming home from the hospital and then, I had an idea on what I was going to do, some follow-up and application of the messages we've been in from the Gospel of Mark the last few Sundays, but I felt the Lord lead me really to dig into something else that I actually read a few weeks ago, and it's been lodged in my heart and my mind since I read it. And as I read what I'm going to share with you tonight, I'm not going to just, you know, share what I read, but I'm based off of what I read, a Bible study has developed from that is what I'm going to share. But when I first heard the idea for this, I thought that would really teach well. It'll be a message or a lesson someday. I didn't know it would be this soon. But so tonight is really kind of a trial run at developing this. But I believe God has definitely has it for us tonight based on what's going on in our country. But this could be developed into so much more. I think it's something you could take and run with yourself. And there's a lot of insight and application as we get into it. But I was reading a few weeks ago in a book entitled In Tune with Heaven by a preacher who's gone home to heaven now by the name of Vance Havner. And the book he wrote, In Tune with Heaven, is a collection of short thoughts and humor and metaphor and similes just about life and just wisdom and about God being active, involved in our daily life. And the foreword to that book was actually written by Billy Graham. The book came out in 1990 and it's published by Baker House. And if you want to get a good book to read, if you got some extra time, I would highly recommend In Tune with Heaven by Vance Havner by Baker House, came out in 1990. But Billy Graham, in his foreword to the book, said he knew Vance Havner since 1936. It was one of his favorite preachers to listen to as he grew up. And he was called the Will Rogers of American pulpit, and he was a sought-after speaker. He pastored some of the largest churches in our country during his day. And he wrote 36 books during his lifetime. He established a scholarship fund for those seeking to go into full-time ministry. And he was really a giant of the faith that many people today have never heard about, Vance Havner. So you might look him up, but a great sense of humor this man had, great insight and wisdom. And in his day, as I said, one of the most sought-after preachers of his day in the 30s, 40s, and 50s in the 1900s of our country. But you know, sadly, sometimes today the only preachers we hear about today are those who have had a moral failure or are involved in some kind of scandal. We don't hear about a lot of the giants of the faith today like there were back in the day, but they are out there. They are walking among us. And Warren Wiersbe, another great author, wrote a book called Walking with the Giants. And if you're looking for some good biography reading, Warren Wiersbe wrote Walking with the Giants, talking about the giants of the faith that are very encouraging. So I would encourage that one as well. But God, as you know, has men and women placed right now where he wants them. We can be sure of that. And there are still giants of the faith. It's just that many of them today are in the shadows. But God is, and he will bring them out at the appointed time. And as I thought about that, you know, maybe you're one of the giants of the faith right now. You may not think of yourself as that, but you're living a life of genuine faith in Christ. You not may not be noticed greatly by the world right now, but you're very much on God's radar, and you can be sure at the appointed time he will pull you out and use you for his glory. So just keep walking with him by faith, day by day, abiding in him, and he has those divine appointments for us. So he's not abandoned his throne. He's not caught by surprise by any of the things that are going on in our world today that many of us are caught by surprise, but God is not. And so with everything going on, I felt led to share some thoughts and verse of scripture that were birthed out of my reading this 1.5 page little snippet from Vance Havner's book, In Tune with Heaven, a few weeks ago. And I can guarantee you'll remember it because I'm probably one of the most forgetful people in the world. Some of you guys, what did you say? No, I'm one of the most forgetful people, not the important things, but some things I easily forget. But this title and what I'm going to share with you tonight has been lodged, and I trust it'll lodge in your heart and mind, and God will use it in your life to help you grow in a closer relationship with him. So in his book, Vance Havner spoke of railroad crossings. You don't see a lot of them around here in Southern California today, but back in the Midwest and the South where he grew up, there were a lot of railroad crossings. And at railroad crossings, at least back in the day, and there's some around today to be sure, but back in the day out in the country when you would come up to a railroad track and you had to cross it, there was usually a sign posted there at the railroad crossing, a sign that could literally save your life if you obeyed it. And at the same time, a sign, if ignored, could bring about your sudden death if you didn't pay attention to the sign that was posted. The sign posted there at the railroad track, many of you are probably already familiar with, and it had three words on it. And the sign said, stop, and then look, and the third word was listen. So stop, look, and listen. And Vance Havner said in his book about that sign, and then we're going to get into the Word of God here. Believe me, a lot of references. Michael's going to be busy back there in the back, and if you're taking notes, you'll be a busy note taker. And if you want me just to send you my notes, if you can't write that, I'll be glad to send them to you as well. But Vance Havner said in his book, quote, many physical, mental, and spiritual wrecks might be averted if we obeyed that injunction along all the trail of life, to stop and to look and to listen. So just like in a very real and physical sense, that sign posted a railroad crossing is meant to save lives, let's see tonight what God's Word has to say about those three very important words, crucial things as we go down the road of life and we come to those important junctures and potentially dangerous situations we get involved in. What does God's Word have to say about times like we're in right now in our country, where a lot of people are wondering, will America come through this time? And how will we if we do? Well, I want to encourage you as we look to God's Word tonight, let's stop and let's look and let's listen. So let me pray and then we're going to get into that. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for your Word. I thank you that you do have things to say to us when it appears like everything potentially could be out of control. When we listen to certain narratives and things that tell us everything's coming undone at the seams, Lord, we don't hear about all the good things because that's not the enemy's agenda. His agenda is to steal, kill, and destroy. And Father, we see him active in our world tonight. But Father, we pray you would still our hearts before you and help us to slow down and help us to look at your Word tonight. Help us to listen and hear what your Spirit is saying to us tonight. And Father, I just pray for those that might be with us tonight that are discouraged or overwhelmed by all that's going on, or maybe those that are doing okay and they just want to further their walk with you, whatever their place might be tonight, whatever our place is, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us and you would give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you watch the news, as I mentioned, if you watch too much news or social media, you can get spun up pretty quickly. I have to catch myself. It's easy to get in, as Max did a great job last week talking about discouragement and depression that so many are dealing with today. You can start out feeling pretty good in about 15 minutes of the news. All of a sudden, you're in a tailspin, and you better learn how to get out of that. But things, in one sense, may seem to be out of control in our world today, uncertain. A lot of people are asking, will we come through this time? And yet, one thing is very certain, and that is that God is in control. And for that, to launch our study tonight, turn to Psalm 46, if you will, in your Bible. Psalms 46. And we're going to read the entire psalm. It's just 11 verses, short psalm, but it's kind of a launching point for where we're going to go tonight. And then from here, there's going to be a lot of cross-references and things. Michael will put some up. I'll mention others. And again, this came up suddenly, me being up here tonight. And again, this would have been, again, fill-in-the-blank situation. I don't have a fill-in-the-blank, but if you want the notes, just let me know. I'll be glad to send you the notes. And if God's speaking to you from them, be glad to send those. But Psalm 46, let's look beginning at verse number 1. Psalm 46, and beginning in verse number 1. And the psalmist says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with its swelling. Selah. So stop and that word Selah, stop and consider this. Then going on in verse 4, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God will help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved, and then he uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. And there's the Selah again, stop and consider the weight of what you've heard. Going on to verse 8, come behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and he cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. And then this well-known verse, it's just one you want to hang on to. Verse 10, be still. And that word still means literally drop your hands, quit striving and struggling. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And so the psalmist is saying there, when all that at one time appeared stable, the hills and the mountains and all those things around us, when all of that is unstable or is even being removed, cast into the sea, he uses some figurative language there, that God is our refuge, a place of refuge, a strength and a present help in our time of need. In other words, God's not going anywhere. When everything in this world is being moved and shaken and shifted around, God is a fixed, stable place of refuge and safety for the believer. God is on his thrones, nations raged, kingdoms moved, and then God spoke, the psalmist said, and the earth melted. Have you ever wondered how powerful the voice of God must be? If the earth melted at the sound of his voice. Again, if you have your Bible open there to Psalm 46, go back to Psalm 29. Psalm 29, when we think about the power of God's voice. And this is Psalm 29. I want to read just verse 5 through 9. Psalm 29, beginning in verse number 5. This is a psalm of David. In Psalm 29:5, the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says glory. I don't know if you've ever tried to cut down a cedar, but if it's a big one, it's going to take a lot. But the voice of the Lord just splinters it. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth. I mean, God's voice, the psalmist is trying to say, is so powerful we can't comprehend the power of his spoken word. And that's what we're getting into tonight, is the word of God. And so back to Psalm 46, when it says the Lord spoke and the earth melted. We think about the power of his voice In verse 8, the psalmist says, come behold the works of the Lord. You know, a lot of people are moving so fast today, they don't even see anything God's doing. They see everything that man's doing. We need to come and behold the works of the Lord. What is he doing? Who had made desolations in the earth, the psalmist said, and yet he also makes wars to cease. And you look around our country today and you see cities, certain cities that are in turmoil and the rioting and the lawlessness going on. And we wonder, can anyone bring peace? Well, God can. You know, a few weeks ago we said, and the reason we started our noontime prayer time, the reason we pray Sunday mornings at 9, the reason Reliance down in Temecula and Pastor Ted, they're praying every Tuesday night at 7, the reason September 26th that I've mentioned that they are calling for a national day of prayer in Washington, D.C., Franklin Graham will be there and many others, and they're inviting you to go there, but if you can't go there, we're planning to have our church building open Saturday, September 26th for you to come and pray. But the reason we're doing that is because what's going on in the world today does not have a man-made solution. But the Lord is the one who makes wars to cease. And so the psalmist reminds us of that. And then in verse 10, he says that be still. And that's not something we're very good at, is it? Just drop your hands, literally. Be still and know that I am God. So to our first point tonight, coming back to the sign at the railroad crossing, stop. Stop. Be still and know that I am God, says the Lord. The first words on the railroad crossing sign to save a life is stop. Imagine you're standing there at the railroad track out in the country, and you see that sign and you wonder, well, should I obey it or should I just run on across without stopping or looking or listening? Well, I would encourage you to stop. It could save your life. And so as I think about that, what are some things that you may need to stop to potentially save your life? What are some things? And again, this is raw and rough, but hopefully very real. And I would ask you to consider that question. What are some things you may need to stop to potentially save your life? Stop. Now, I'm assuming before we get too far into that we're all settled on Ephesians 2 and verse 8 and 9. I believe that's the first reference we'll have on the screen. The writer here, Paul, reminds us, as far as our salvation goes, he says that for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. So I'm assuming that as a starting point tonight, we understand that salvation is a gift of God that's given to us. It's not of works. God doesn't want a lot of people in heaven boasting and accepting one thing, and that's in the cross of Jesus Christ. But our salvation is not based on any work we've done. It's based on our belief in the finished work of what Christ has done. So being saved by grace through faith, that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. But, you know, tonight the truth is there are a lot of Christians, God's children, that are killing themselves by either their pace of life or things they're wrapped up in or that they're actually doing that are not furthering or helping their walk with God. So the Lord would remind us, I believe, to stop some things, and I would like to suggest perhaps a few, and I know there are many others. Stop. Number one, stop your hurried pace of life. You know, a lot of people said when this COVID virus first hit and the quarantine was first kind of introduced as a whole new thing to a lot of us, and now by God's grace, I believe we're coming out of that season, hopefully, and we're getting to a point where, you know, hopefully we'll get back to some sort of normalcy in our way of life. I know there's still a ways to go and other factors that contribute to that. But when this quarantine first happened, it was brand new to me and to many of us. And we'd never experienced something like that. But I heard many people say and at the time that, you know, one good thing is it's causing us to slow down. It's causing us to be together more as a family, to eat meals together, maybe play a table game or put together a puzzle. I remember going to Target one day shortly after, and the quarantine started to get a puzzle, and they were all gone. And I asked the clerk, what's going on? They said, everybody's buying puzzles, and couldn't find one. But families were spending time together. They were slowing down their pace of life. So I would ask you tonight, when we consider that sign at the railroad crossing to stop, would God perhaps say to some of us that you need to stop your hurried pace of life? There's an old song that from many years ago, and part of the lyrics to the song, and you may have heard of part of the song, but it goes like this. It said the robin to the sparrow. Imagine two little birds talking. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Well, said the sparrow to the robin, "Friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me." So imagine those two little birds talking and looking at humans rushing about everywhere, and the one asked the other, "Well, what's the deal?" And the other one simply said, "Well, I don't think they know they have a heavenly Father that cares for them like he cares for you and me." So might God be saying to some of us, you need to stop your hurried pace of life? To others, maybe he would say, you need to stop worrying. Jesus told us very clearly in Matthew 6, did he not? Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about all the things of life. Seek first the kingdom of God. Maybe some of us need to stop worrying so much. Others, God might say, you need to stop chasing things that have no lasting value. You know, a lot of us are caught up chasing the things of this world that are temporal and are going to fade away as this world is fading away. And perhaps he would say, you need to stop chasing things of no lasting value and start chasing things that actually run after some things that have eternal value. For others, God might say, you need to stop being fearful and anxious. So many people today are caught up in fear and anxiety, and no doubt we all deal with that in different ways and at different times for different reasons. But I can't find anywhere in God's word where it says to you as a child, I want you to be afraid and anxious about a whole bunch of stuff. God, in fact, God's word, as you know, says completely the opposite. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And then the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and guard your mind through Christ Jesus. So some of us, God might say tonight, you need to stop being afraid and stop being anxious, and you need to start praying more. For others, God might say, you need to stop listening to the world more than you do to me. And, you know, sadly, I heard, you know, again, many months ago that a lot of Christians were so wrapped up in social media that they'd stopped listening to God and they'd listening to all the narrative of the world. And God might be saying to some of us that you need to stop listening to the world more than you do to me. Now, again, going on from there, I'm trusting that God's going to speak to you on whatever you need to stop, but I'm going to suggest some other things. For some of us, he might say, you need to stop talking so much and you need to listen more. You need to stop talking so much and start to listen more. Ecclesiastes 3:7, I'll just quote this one. And the writer there, Solomon, said, there is a time to keep silence and there's a time to speak. So, you know, might God be saying you need to be quiet a little bit more so you can hear better? Ecclesiastes 5:1-2, I'll quote from the New Living Translation. Again, this isn't on the screen. We've got some more of those coming up. But if you're a note taker, Ecclesiastes 5:1-2, New Living Translation, the writer there said, as you enter the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth shut. That doesn't help a preacher much because I don't know what to do with that. But I think in general he's saying to all of us, when you come before God, you come into the presence of God, you need to come with your ears open and not come with a whole bunch of stuff to say, but come to listen. And the writer goes on to say, it's evil to make mindless offerings to God. Don't make rash promises and don't be hasty in bringing matters before God. After all, God is in heaven and you're on the earth, so let your words be few. And might God be saying to some of us, you need to stop talking as much and maybe listen a little bit more. For others, God might be saying, you know what? What you need to do is stop fighting and quarreling with people. And we see a lot of fighting and quarreling going on in the world today, don't we? Before this, look at on the screen at Proverbs 17:14. Just some wisdom here. Something some of us might need to stop. Maybe it's with a family member, a neighbor, or someone else. Proverbs 17:14, the beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop. Stop contention before a quarrel starts. That's some good advice. I remember my pastor, when I first started in ministry, he said, as you get into the ministry of the church, he said, and as you go around and work with different situations and people, remember you've always got a can of gasoline in one hand, a can of water in the other. And he said, always make sure that you put water on quarrels and contentions and not gas. In other words, put them out before they really get going. Don't feed them. Proverbs 20:3, look at this, along the same line as far as stopping. Proverbs 20:3, it is honorable for a man to stop striving since any fool can start a quarrel. So, boy, I won't say any more about that, but you see that being played out before our eyes today. But for some of us, just stop striving. Any fool can start a quarrel. Another, for perhaps somebody tonight, and again, I didn't know who's watching or at what stage of life some of us might be in, but God might be saying to some of us, you need to stop walking away from me and start walking toward me and start walking with me. Stop walking away and start walking towards and start walking with me. That's a great thing to walk with God. And Micah, you remember, this is not on the screen. In Micah 6:8, they were wondering, well, what does God want from us? You know, what kind of sacrifice do we need to make? How many burnt offerings do we need to offer up? And Micah said, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God? You put those three things together, there's four fingers, that's beautiful. There's three fingers. You do those three things. If you seek justice, in other words, I'm going to do what's right, and I'm going to love mercy, I'm going to be a forgiving, merciful person, and then I'm going to walk humbly with my God and just watch how wonderful life will go. And as far as stopping, you know, so stop walking away from God, start walking towards Him and with Him. As far as stopping goes, here's something encouraging with what's going on in our world today. Know that one day the mouths of all those who are speaking lies shall be stopped. The mouths of all those who are speaking lies shall be stopped. Look on the screen here at Psalm 63 and verse number 11. Psalm 63 and verse 11, but the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by Him shall glory. But look at this, the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. You know, as far as things stopping, God promises in His Word here that one day the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. I thought Washington, D.C. would be a very quiet place, wouldn't it? Not for everyone that's there. Thank God we have some good men and women there. I thank God for our president, our vice president, many people around him. Not perfect people, but I believe they're trying to honor God and seeking things that are consistent with His Word. But as you know, whether it's Washington, D.C., or your neighborhood, or your place of work, or wherever it might be, that the mouths of those who speak lies shall be stopped one day, and then all we're going to hear is truth. And what a wonderful day that will be. So imagine, if you will, with me, before we go on to the second thing, that you're walking in the country, and you come upon a railroad crossing, and you see a sign, and you actually do stop. The track is narrow. Vision on either side or either direction is hindered by trees, overgrown bushes. And all of a sudden, a freight train appears out of nowhere and it rushes by right in front of you at 80 miles an hour. And your life is spared because you stopped and you obeyed the sign that was in front of you. Now, you're going to have to do some personal inventory with this and go before the Lord and ask Him, Lord, is there something that I need to stop? Something that is hindering the life You desire for me rather than furthering the life You desire for me. Is there something I need to stop? Do I need to stop my hurried pace of life? Do I need to stop worrying? Do I need to quit chasing things of no lasting value? Do I need to stop being fearful and anxious? Do I need to stop listening to the world more than I do to You? Or do I need to stop and You fill in the blank? I'm trusting the Holy Spirit will speak to all of us about some things that we potentially need to stop. For some tonight, maybe it's stop living in unbelief and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel, as Jesus said when He started His ministry in Mark 1. Stop living in unbelief and start living in belief in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross, He was buried, and He rose again for us to give us eternal life, to give us hope. The question, God, what do I need to stop? Maybe you just need to stop and be still, and know that He's God, and let Him speak to you on this issue. What do I need to stop? I wanted to read a quote from Vance Havner's book before we go on to point number two. Real quickly, just a couple of sentences on this issue of stop. And so in his book, In Tune with Heaven, he says, stop. You're straining yourself to death. You're chasing dirt and dollars. And he uses some old school metaphors here, but he said, check up, mop up your brow, and sit down and rest a while. Take stock of yourself. Your life is all disarranged. The wrong thing is at the top of the list. Your sense of value is out of focus. Get your breath and think. You're running because everybody else is. There's no sense to it. They just got started and everybody's afraid to quit for fear of being rated a back number. And yet every one of them wants to take it easier, but they've got into the swing and they can't break out. So he said, put first things first, rearrange your interest according to their true importance, and laugh at yourself for being such a nut. And so I like it. You know, just stop and take some inventory. We're not good at stopping. We're not good at taking inventory. It's like the guy who was climbing a ladder as fast as he could, and he finally got to the top, and he was all excited only to find it was leaning against the wrong wall. And so how many of us are doing that thing in life? We're going as fast as we can, trying to get to the top, and if we're not seeking God and putting first things first, we may get to the top only to find we got the ladder leaning on the wrong wall. So Lord, help us to get our ladder leaning on the right wall, the wall that leads to you, to heaven, by seeking Christ, walking with you, and obeying what you tell us in his word. The second thing, standing at the railroad crossing, again, literally on the sign back in the day, and maybe you still see him today, is after you stop, it says, look. Look. Look around and notice what's going on. Be aware of your environment as if at a railroad track. Look and make sure there's not a train coming that if you were to step out on that track, it would immediately take your life. So stop, and then you need to look both directions, like we tell our kids when they're going to cross the street. So think about the word look tonight. Is there something coming that you need to be aware of, as in the case of a train? Stand still, maybe step back until it passes. You need to look at your environment. And the first thing I would say to you to look at is, number one, look to the Lord. There's a lot of things we can look at today, but number one, first of all, I would encourage you, look to the Lord. In Psalm 5 and verse number 3, look what the psalmist said here on this matter of looking. He said, my voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will, look what he says there. He said, I will look up. So he said, in the morning, God, I'm going to pray, I'm going to direct my voice to you, and then I'm going to look up to you, Father. I'm going to look with faith and expectation that you are God and that you've heard my prayer. Do you know looking to God will change the way you look? Looking to God will change the way that you look. It will improve your countenance. You see some people's faces today and you have to wonder, what are they looking at? And sometimes you don't have to wonder long. And sadly, when I look in the mirror and don't see what or like what I see, I have to immediately say, what have I been looking at? What does my countenance tell me right now? Well, if you look to God, it'll change the way you look. Look on the screen here at Psalm 34 and verse 5. This is very encouraging. In Psalm 34 and verse 5, it said, they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. If you start spending more time looking to God, looking to his word, it's going to change the way you look in a very positive way, and their faces were not ashamed. I would encourage you also to look to God, for he is faithful. In Psalm 145 and verse 15, look what the psalmist says here, 145 on the screen, in verse 15, the eyes of all look expectantly to you. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. I love the fact that you and I can look to God, and the psalmist writes there that God in due season, that means when we need it, will give us what we need. The eyes of the all look expectantly to you. And so God is faithful, and we can trust him as we look to him. Another thing is look to the word of God. I'll just quote Psalm 119 and verse 130. The psalmist said here in Psalm 119 and 130, the entrance of your words gives light, it gives understanding to the simple. And so as you look at the word of God, God's word gives light. As the psalmist says, your word is a light unto my feet and a lamp to my path. If you're confused or seem to be in the dark, you wonder what's going on in the world, what's going on in my life, what do I need to do, what do I need to change? Just get into the word of God, and God's word is a light unto our feet and a lamp to our path. And the entrance of his word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Another thing we can look at is in Romans 1, Paul said that in creation, God has revealed his attributes. And in nature, God has revealed part of who he is. And so in just looking at nature in Romans 1, in creation, the attributes of God are clearly seen in the things that he has made. for some of us in the times that we're going through right now, we just need to get outside. You need to go for a walk. You need to find a trail. You need to get out in the country if you can. Go somewhere where you can be around some kind of nature, things that God has made, not things man has made, and just behold the works of the Lord. And God has revealed his attributes. This morning there was a little green praying mantis walking on the side of our house, and my wife was out there and our grandson was there, and they got the little praying mantis off, and our little grandson was looking at it so excited. But just look at a praying mantis. Even the name of the thing reminds us of something we should do. But look at all the things, from the tiniest insects and creatures to a running brook to a majestic mountain to a mighty ocean. Look up into the heavens as the psalmist did in Psalm 8. And he said, when I look at him, Lord, what is man that you're mindful of me? When I see the vastness of everything else, why do you even think about me? And if you study that thing, Louis Giglio has a great series on it. We realize that this earth is just a tiny little marble in a vast universe, and you and I are tiny specks on this tiny marble, and yet God, in his sovereignty and his love, has made us in his image, and he is mindful of us, it says. And he looks at us, and he cares for us. So look at creation for all the attributes of God, and be in awe of the fact that he thinks of you and me, and he loves us. Look for another thing, opportunities to share the gospel of Christ. In the day and age that we live in, there are people looking for the hope that if you're a Christian tonight, you've received Christ, you have a living hope from the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And there are people all around us every day that don't have for hope. And so look for opportunities to share the gospel. Look for opportunities to encourage someone around you, beginning in your home and out to your neighbors, your church family, whatever it might be, in your place of work, if you're still able to go to work. But look for someone to encourage. In Galatians 6:10, on this point on the screen, therefore, Paul says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, but especially to those who are of the household of the faith. And so in Galatians there, Paul reminds us, you know, do good to everybody you can. Every opportunity you get, the opportunity you have today will probably not be there tomorrow, so take advantage of the opportunity today. But I love that he puts in there to all, but also especially those of the household of faith. While you're loving on the world and your neighbors and family members around you, don't forget your brothers and sisters in Christ who need encouragement as much as you do. And so do good to all. Look for those opportunities, and especially to those of the household of faith. When you think about looking, I would encourage you also to look ahead and look forward to what is out in front of you. Don't be like Lot's wife who looked behind her. Look on the screen at Genesis 19:26. It's a sobering reminder as they were fleeing from Sodom and Gomorrah, where God was bringing judgment, but his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Why did she become she looked back to what God was trying to bring her away from. And so I would say to you as a Christian, remember that you and I are to look forward. God's kingdom is a forward-looking kingdom. It's an upward gaze that we are to have. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, Colossians 3:1. To follow Jesus and what he's called you to, you must look ahead. You're leaving something, and God is taking you to something better. So don't keep looking behind you like Lot's wife did. Look ahead to what God has before you. In Luke 9:62 on the screen, Jesus talked about this, and Jesus said to him, no one having putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Those are pretty sobering and very clear words, but Jesus wants us to know there that the kingdom of God is something we're to look forward to. As Christians, we're not always to be looking behind us to what we're leaving. We're to be looking forward to what God is taking us into, the kingdom that he has prepared. Look ahead of you. John said in his letter of 1 John, this world is passing away in the lust thereof, but he who does the will of God abides or remains forever. So this world that at times seems so attractive and beautiful, and no doubt the creation of this world, the world that God created is a beautiful world. The world system, as you know, is corrupt and has tainted all the beauty that God has initially created, and that's a whole other message I'm sure that we could get into. But John reminds us, as far as our focus, what we're looking at, this world is passing away, and all the lust, the desires that this world tries to pull us into, thinking they have value and fulfillment in them. Some of them can be blessings if they're not sinful things. But all of them are temporal and they're passing away, but he who does the will of God abides forever. God's kingdom that is coming is eternal in nature. It will not pass away as this world is. So look ahead, look up. In Proverbs 4:25, the writer gives us this encouraging word. He said, "Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you." That's a great verse given that you're looking to the things of God. And if you're seeking God and going the direction he wants you to go, then the writer says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Don't get off the rails, so to speak. Don't get off in the weeds. Let your eyelids look right before you. And then know this. Know that as you're to be looking, you're to stop and you're to look at certain things. Before we go on to the last point here, I would encourage you in this point, in this wonderful truth, know that God looks. God looks. And he's looking today. He's very aware of our situation. In fact, he is sovereign over our lives tonight. God is looking. And you may not always realize that, and I sometimes forget myself that, hey, God is looking. God is watching. God's very aware of everything that you're going through, the circumstances that you're in. Jesus even said in the parable that the very hairs of our head are numbered. And so God is looking. In Psalm 33:13, look at this encouraging verse. Psalm 33:13, the Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. A lot of people think of God as, I believe, agnostic is a term. Like, yeah, there's a God, but he can't be involved in our life. We can't have a personal relationship with him. Well, the Bible begs to differ with that. The truth of God's word says he looks from heaven and he sees all the sons of men. In Psalm 14:2, look at this one. Psalm 14:2, the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men. And look what he says, to see if there are any who understand and who seek God. So God's looking for people who are looking for him. And God said, you'll seek me and you'll find me when you seek for me with all of your heart. So are you seeking God? And if you're tuned in tonight, you're watching, I assume you, like those of us that are here, are seeking God, that you're wanting to know him better. You're wanting to hear what he says to us through his word. And so God is looking down from heaven and he sees the children of men, and he's looking for those who understand and who seek him. And if you're discouraged by what you see in this world, by what you watch on the news, and by what's being projected through social media, seeing what's going on in the world right now in the way of lawlessness and destruction and just the chaos. And again, I would just balance that by saying we don't see all the good things, because there's a whole bunch of good things going on. You have to look for them, but they're there. God is at work, but there are a lot of good things. But if you, like me, get discouraged by, you know, maybe watching too much news or social media, seeing the lawlessness, destruction that's in our world tonight, Psalm 37:10, look what this says. Psalm 37:10, for yet a little while and the wicked shall be no more. Look what God says here about looking. He says, indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. In other words, when Jesus comes and rules and reigns on this earth, all those who are wicked and lawless and destroying, the Bible says you'll look carefully for their place, but it shall be no more. God will remove all of that, and he'll rule in righteousness and peace. So look at and focus on things of lasting value as well. Look at and focus on things of lasting value. In Psalm 119, verse 37, this is a great one, and then we'll move to the last point. The psalmist says, turn away my eyes, notice, from looking at worthless things, and revive me in your way. You know, how many of us, myself included at times, we get caught up looking at worthless things. And the psalmist says, Lord, turn my eyes away from that and revive me in your way. And to do that, that means we got to be looking at God's way. We got to be looking at his word. We got to be looking at things that he says have lasting value and be involved in those things. And from his devotional on the idea of looking, I want to read real quickly a second quote on this idea of looking, and then we'll go to the last one. Vance Havner says in his book, look, the drama of life is unfolding around you every day, more wonderful by far than all our superficial little creations. Watch the pageant of the seasons, the magic of the bud and the brook and the blossom, speaking about things in nature. And he says, and look at people themselves as they are, not polished up in plays and pictures. What is so fascinating as the comedy and tragedy of day by day. Do you know if you're a people watcher? And sometimes it's fun to do just to watch people in unpolished situations. But we can be fun to watch, can't we? And, you know, just get caught up in looking at the things that God is doing, the reality of day-to-day life, being authentic, being real, and not the polished, washed-up version that Hollywood gives us that, you know, this is what life is like or should be like, and people never get to that point, and they get very discouraged. Well, that's not life. That's not real life. And so the Bible says, turn our eyes away from looking at worthless things. Lord, revive me in your way. So you're at the railroad track. You have decided to heed the sign to, you know what, I am going to stop, and then I'm going to actually look around and see what's going on. I'm going to look to God. I'm going to look to his word. I'm going to see what God has for me to perceive at this moment. And then the last thing on that railroad sign would be the word listen. So I'm going to stop. I'm going to look, make sure a train's not coming, figuratively speaking, and then I'm going to listen, because I may not see it, but maybe I can hear it coming. I was reminded tonight of Kelly and I, and I believe it was our second anniversary. We went down to Del Mar for a couple days just to celebrate our second anniversary. And if you've been on the coast there at Del Mar, there's a railroad track that runs down the coastline, the coaster. You can ride the train. And so we got out there on a morning walk one day, and there's a railroad track. And we thought, well, won't it be fun to lie down on the railroad track? And so you can be sure I stopped and I looked and I listened very carefully. And fortunately, in the spot we were, you could look up and down the track quite a ways and see that there's no train coming, can't hear anything. So I laid down on the track and took a couple pictures for whatever that's worth. But you can be sure I was listening and looking and making sure that something wasn't coming. But to save a person's life, the railroad sign is there that you need to stop, you need to look, and you need to listen. You may have heard, and I shared this with some of the guys on Tuesday morning, but you may have heard of the man who went to the doctor to complain about his wife's hearing problem. He went to the doctor and he said, Doc, my wife, I don't think she can hear. She doesn't respond to me when I talk to her. And, you know, is there anything that can be done? And he said, well, tell you what you need to do is go home and try saying things to her from different distances. And depending on how close you need to be when she finally responds, then we'll know what we're dealing with and we can try and work with that. So the man leaves the doctor's office. He goes home and he gets inside the front door. His wife's in the kitchen cooking dinner. And from the front door, he said, honey, what's for dinner? And there's no response. So he moves a little further down the hallway where he hangs up his coat and his car keys. And he again says, a little closer now, honey, what's for dinner? And still there's no response. And then finally he gets a little further down the hallway, still a little ways from the kitchen, and he thinks, well, surely she's gonna hear me here. And for the third time he says, honey, what's for dinner? No response. So finally he sticks his head through the doorway to the kitchen, and he's kind of, you know, in the kitchen now almost. And he says again, honey, what's for dinner? And she says, for the fourth time I told you chicken. So I hear you laughing. I know it's just coming through. But see, the problem wasn't with her, it was with him. And many times, isn't it, we think it's others who are not hearing well when we may need to be the ones who say, Lord, would you help me hear? Would you help me listen? As the writer in the book of Revelation, as the Lord was giving messages to the church, he said, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. So, you know, we look around the world today, we look at our relationships and all the other things, and we think, well, if they would just listen. But could it be that maybe you and I are the ones that we need to say, Lord, give me ears to hear. Help me to listen to what your Spirit is saying to the church, what you're saying to me. Important things the Lord had to say to his church, and it's important to listen. So I would say, when we think of listen first of all to God. What is he wanting to say to you today, tonight? Oftentimes when I pray with people who are in spiritual warfare, or they're going through battles of life, or they're discouraged or down or whatever, one thing God has given me to pray for them, as has been prayed for me at times, Lord, help them to hear only what you're saying. And would you silence the enemy's voice? Lord, give them ears to hear what you're saying. So listen, number one, to God. Listen, number two, to your family. You know, in the day and age we live in, that, you know, families are together more. And, you know, when, are you listening? God, give me ears to hear what's going on in my family, with my family, what they are saying right now. Listen to other people. Listen to neighbors around you right now. Many times, if you're like me, and I'm rightly accused of this sometimes, I'm always thinking of the next thing I'm going to say instead of really listening. And by God's grace, I've been working on doing a better job of listening to people, to neighbors. Listen to your church family. And then here's a fun one. Listen to nature. Go out and listen to God in nature. And what has God said through His creation? Listening may require turning off or down some things so you actually can hear. There are times when I get in my truck to come here to church or run an errand or go wherever it is, and, you know, automatically I start the truck up and Christian radio's blaring, Air One is on, or K-Wave, which are great stations, nothing wrong. But every once in a while, I remember a famous Christian author that I was reading a few years ago said when he was going through a certain season that he was in and really needing to hear God, he said, I had to turn everything in my life off, and he said, even Christian radio. And that shocked me for a minute. I thought, well, if you want to hear God, you need Christian radio. I thank God for Christian radio. I thank God there's many good preachers and teachers on Christian radio and great worship songs on Air One, and I listen to them regularly. But there are times when God might want to break in and say, you know what, if you'll just unplug from everything, maybe I could talk to you. So listen to God. Hear what He's having to say. One last time, I'd like to quote from the book of Vance Havner, In Tune with Heaven, on this third point of listening, and then we're going to wrap up. Vance Havner said on this idea of listening, he said, listen. The whisper of the birds, the tumult of the western wind, the winged choir of the woods, the music of men, from the ditty of a child to the nocturnes of Chopin. I probably murdered that. Think of Beethoven. Chopin. Yeah, Chopin. It's like Chinese food. Chopin. The voice of God through the sounds of earth. Hear Him above the squawking of this rackety age. You know, if we're not careful, we can get consumed in the squawking of the rackety age, can't we? And all the social media, especially today, we're bombarded with, and all those other things. And certainly we need to be aware of what's going on around us, but we need more than that to hear. What is God saying? What is God wanting to say? The truth is, as we close tonight, you could take these three points and run with them. As I said, this kind of came together quickly, and I hope it's been a blessing to you. I'm already thinking of a sermon series or other things, but, you know, the truth is, you could do very much the same thing and take these three points and run with them. You could spend time in your devotions this week and just stop long enough to be still before the Lord, spending time in His Word and prayer, and ask Him these three things. Number one, what are you calling me, God, to stop or stop doing? Imagine you're at that railroad track in the countryside, and you see the sign, and in your prayer time this week, I would encourage you to just say, Lord, what are you wanting me to stop in my life? What are you wanting me to stop doing? Secondly, what is He wanting you to look at, focus upon, and notice? So, Lord, what do I need to stop? Lord, what do you want me to look at? What do you want me to notice and be aware of? And thirdly, what is He wanting you to listen to? And I would say on that third point, He wants you to hear His voice. He wants you to hear His voice saying to you, I love you. If you're a Christian, He would say to you, you're my child. And the work in you I've started, I'll complete until the day of Christ. If you're not a Christian tonight, maybe you're watching us online and you're saying, you know what, Pastor, I'm one of those who's without hope in this world. I'm one of those who sees everything going on and I don't quite know what to do. I would say the same thing to you. You need to stop running away from God and turn towards Him. Repent of unbelief and sin. And turn to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and believe on Him. That He died on the cross for your sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He lives today to give you hope. So you need to stop running from God and you need to start looking to God and look to His Word and let Him encourage you through His Word and then listen to His voice saying, I love you and I gave my Son on the cross for you. As we know tonight, this pace of this world that's going right now, danger lurks at almost every turn. And there are decisions we need to make, sometimes very suddenly. And I would encourage you, when you're at one of those railroad tracks of life, or just in your everyday pace of life that you're going through, that you would, like I have been reminded, to stop and to look and to listen and hear what God is saying. It could potentially save your life. So let's pray together, and I pray that God will use this to further your relationship with Him. And after I pray, Max is going to lead us a little different tonight, one closing song, just about being able to open the eyes of our heart and hear what God is saying. Let's pray together, and then Max is going to close us out with a song of worship tonight. So thanks for joining us tonight. Really hope you're encouraged. And again, if you want the notes, just let us know. But let me pray, and then we'll close with a song. Heavenly Father, I thank You that You have spoken to me on this issue of stopping some things and not just running out on the track of life without considering certain things. Father, I thank You. I pray that not only that You have spoken to me, but I pray You've spoken through me, through Your Word, Lord, tonight, because Your Word has what we've looked at and so much more to say about all three of these areas, about stopping and looking and listening. So, Father, I pray for those tonight that need to stop some things. Maybe they're involved in things that are really ruining the life that You desire for them. And so, Father, I trust that Your Holy Spirit can speak to each of us tonight as You've spoken to me about some things that we need to stop. And then, Lord, open our eyes to see what You want us to be looking at. Help us to turn our eyes away from worthless things and focus on things of value and things that You love, things that are praiseworthy and of good report. Help us to meditate and think about and look upon those things. And then, Father, I pray in this noisy, rackety world that we live in, You would give us ears to hear, that You would help us to listen. What is Your Spirit saying to Your church? What are You saying to Your people? What are You saying to lost people today through the church, that we might communicate clearly the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ, Lord? So have Your way as we have heard Your Word. Help us respond and walk in it this week as we just seek to glorify You, Father, in all that we do. Bless our church family. Lord, use us for Your glory. And now as we sing this song of worship, may it just be the cry of our heart, Lord, that You would open up the eyes of our heart, that we can see and hear what You want us to see and hear, Father, in Jesus' name.
My heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see.